Amen. Macaria. Hallelujah. So don't forget, don't call her Monica. It's Macaria. Amen. Let us stand to our feet, please, everyone. I want you to close your eyes and just begin to thank God for this morning. Let's bless the name of the Lord for this great day. This is the day that the Lord has made for us, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, lift up your voices, lift up your hands with gladness. Thank God that you are alive. Thank God for breath. Thank God for energy. Thank God that you even woke up this morning. Just bless His name. Be full of gratitude towards God this morning. We are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. We bless you. We honor you. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercies. Come on, thank Him for His mercies. Thank Him for His grace. His grace, His grace, His grace, His grace, His grace, His grace, His grace. Just bless His name. Bless His name for His grace. Come on, just give Him praise this morning. Honor Him. For He is good. Our Lord, He is good. Our Lord, He is good. Our Lord, He is good. He is good. In Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 is my favorite chapters, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. In verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. So, in other words, grace is measurable. If it is measurable, it means that you can have, or you can be in a place where you have more grace or less grace, because it's measurable. And here he's saying that grace and peace is multiplied. It is increased. You see, there are a lot of misconceptions about many things in the Bible. And I think one of the things that is also misunderstood is grace. We say grace is undeserved favor. It is true. But it doesn't just also come by just sitting there. You can actually work up more grace towards you. Isn't that what the Bible is saying here? It's grace and peace. If you want peace of mind and if you want grace, it is through the knowledge of God. Amen. So I want us to pray one more time this morning before we sit and say, Lord, this morning, let your grace be multiplied to me and your peace be multiplied to me as I hear your word. Come on, close your eyes and just pray for grace, 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 multiplication of grace. I tell you, we need grace. Bible says that God is a God of all grace. He's a God of all grace. He's able to make grace abound towards you. Pray that this morning, as is the knowledge, His knowledge, the knowledge of God comes, grace will be multiplied unto you. Grace, 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 grace. Come on, pray that prayer. Father, thank you. Let grace be multiplied. 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 Jesus. More grace, more grace, more grace, more grace, more grace. In the name of Jesus, more grace. Let your grace be multiplied as knowledge comes, as your word is preached, as your word is taught, as we read the word, as we listen to your word, Lord. Let grace abound. Let grace be multiplied. Let grace be multiplied. Let grace be multiplied in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for what you are about to do in our midst this morning. Thank you for the great opportunity to be here and to hear you speak to us. May we be attentive. Let our hearts be open towards your word. And as your word comes and more knowledge comes, let grace be multiplied. We recognize and we realize that on this pathway to even greatness, we cannot do it by ourselves. It takes your grace. Therefore, we are asking that grace be multiplied towards us. For you are the God of all grace. All grace belongs to you. You have it. Let it increase in our lives as we know more about you. We thank you that above all, we shall be partakers also of the divine nature as grace is multiplied unto us in Jesus' name. And bless this offering. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. We have a baby dedication, so we'll share a little bit and then we'll go on. Aren't these books beautiful? Yeah, nice, aren't they? Yes. So this comes again. We've talked about it many times, but there are 40 books. And they come in this set called Makarios. It's a library. All right? And it is it $65? $65. Okay, I think you should take advantage of it. Yesterday I was looking at Amazon and I was looking at the books, Bishop's books on sale on Amazon, and it was $145 on Amazon. But this is for in-house, okay? So I charge you, nobody should take any book here, okay? They are not giveaways, they are for exhibition to also show what you can get. Amen. And I tell you, this is one of my secrets. I feed off books. Yes, I preach from books. You may not know what I'm preaching, but it's here. Everything is here, I can tell you. It's a combination of different books that I've read over the years from these collections. Amen? So let's continue our series on the secret. Turn to your neighbor and say, the secret. Do you know that there are secrets everywhere you go? There are things that nobody tells you. And you may be surprised at what you learn. I was going to share something that I learned yesterday, but since this is there's a live podcast, isn't it? So I won't say a lot of things, but it's okay. I think I should hold it. But there are a lot of secrets. Now we are talking about the secret, and as I've told you, there's a difference between a secret and the secret. This secret is specific. Okay? Now, the secret to greatness. How many of you realize you're on your way to greatness this year? Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the Lord shall increase your greatness. And turn to yourself and say, the Lord is increasing my greatness. So it's not just going to come by you sitting and sleeping and eating and drinking and making merry. It comes also by work. You see, whenever God gives you a word, like I've said many times, it means work. It means work. That is what it means. So everything that God promises you, there's a manual part, there's a part that you need to play, and there's a part that God will play. But you need to make your part good. And then God's part also becomes automatic. Amen. So the secret to greatness, if you look at all the great men of God, Bishop Doug Hayward Mills, all the great men of God, the secret is not a secret. The secret is their interaction with God. Quality time with God. Specific time spent with God, reading the Bible, getting more knowledge of Him, and growing in Him as you also talk to Him. Amen. So you cannot become great without this secret. You cannot become great without a quiet time, a daily time spent with God. This is it. Amen. Again, let me remind you that as human beings, we like to sort of engulf our minds on very complex things. Everything has to be complex. And then we fall at the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel is that if you want to be great, you need to spend time with God daily, frequently. That is how God is going to increase your greatness. It looks like every week I'm repeating myself, but that is what it is. Because I'm determined to be great this year. I'm determined for my greatness to increase this year. And I want you also to come along this year. Let your greatness increase. Hallelujah. We become partakers of the divine nature through the knowledge of Him. As we know more about God, as knowledge comes, you increase. That is how you are going to increase. Lift up your right hand and say, I am going to increase. Say, my greatness is going to increase through daily quiet time. Wow. Ask your neighbor that, do you believe it? If they don't believe it, tell them you gotta believe it. Yes. Amen. So we are looking at the secret. The secret. So last week, I think this is part three, the secret. We'll keep increasing the parts till the Lord instructs me to move on to something else. So last week, we looked at the effectiveness of quiet time. What are the effects? What does it bring into your life? All right? In other words, also, always also think about the opposite. If you don't have your quiet time, these things will not happen to you. Amen. So quickly, the first thing we learned is that daily quiet time breaks down evil strongholds. Your daily quiet time, your daily spending time with God, it breaks down evil strongholds. Amen. A lot of things will not just go away by a one-time sermon. You come to church and you preach. In fact, in church, you don't even hear a lot. It's true. I dare you, go back anytime you after church, go back and play, replay the message. You realize that you did not hear. In fact, they said that it's a very little percentage. I forgot the exact amount, but it's about 11%. Yeah, about 11% of what you hear is retained the first time. So as I'm speaking to you, the whole, even if this message is 30 minutes, you are going to retain only 11%. You see. So the repetitive nature, of hearing the word, going back to God on a daily basis and hearing. That's why the Bible, the apostle talks about that, you know, saying it again, it's not grievous. It's not grievous. I mean, as a minister or a man of God or a preacher or a pastor, when you say things like it's not grievous. That's why almost every Sunday I can stand here and quote Psalm 71 verse 21. That this is your year of greatness, isn't it? It is not grievous, but to you it's of advantage. Because as you keep hearing it, the repetitive nature of it by itself is helpful. We read from Jeremiah 23:29. It says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. His word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Yeah, and we know that rocks don't just break down by one bang. It breaks down by the repetitive until you hit the last straw that breaks the camel's back, and then the rock is shattered, isn't it? Number two, a daily quiet time leads to cutting away of unwanted aspects of our character. Yes. As you come before the Lord daily, the Lord, through that interaction in the secret, will cut off different aspects of unwanted part of it. How many of you feel like you have unwanted part? Oh, I can't see your hands. This, even Esther is standing. Yeah. I feel some people should even raise both hands. Yeah, we all have unwanted parts. Parts that you wish was not part of you, isn't it? But the way to become free of those is that repetitive coming before them. It says his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce and it's able to divide asunder. It divides the soul and the spirit. And it's able to discern the thoughts. Hey! Sometimes the interaction with the word of God can even make you see how even off your thinking is. Yeah. Without the word of God, you will think you are right. You may think that you are so correct. But you'll be amazed that as you spend time with God, your thinking will change. Yeah. Your thinking will change. You begin to even appreciate what is the acceptable will of God. Without that, you cannot. Yeah. Sometimes you may think a partner that you pick, young ladies, is the right one. or young men, the partner that you pick is the right one. But as you interact with the word of God, God's word will correct your thinking and deliver you from years of misery, which otherwise, if you ignore, will happen. Amen. So that's what we did last week, isn't it? So number three, a daily quiet time will bring spiritual growth. A daily quiet time will bring spiritual growth. A daily quiet time will bring spiritual growth to us. Amen. Now, when you talk about spiritual growth, a lot of charismatic Christians do not appear to be so interested in spiritual growth. You see, we are interested in growth anywhere else other than spiritual. We are interested in financial growth. We are interested in career growth. We are interested in what other growth? What? Academic growth. Beloved-dosing growth. Yeah, it's right. We are interested in every kind of growth. But when it comes to spiritual growth, it is as though you don't want to grow up. Tap your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, you do not look like somebody who does not want to grow up. Say, I want to believe that you want to grow up. Yeah. Amen. You need to grow up. You see, you cannot, listen carefully, you cannot become great without growing up. Yes. You cannot become great without growing up. Greatness comes with growing up. You understand? You have to grow up, not just age-wise, chronological age, but also spiritual age. You need to grow up. Yeah. You see, you cannot, it doesn't matter where you come from, whether you come from the royal family of, you know, Suhum. I don't care what royal family you come from, you cannot inherit, listen carefully, you cannot inherit a status. Yeah. You cannot say, you know, my father is President Obama, so I am this. It may help you to begin with, you see, but you cannot inherit a status. You have to grow into a status. Status. Yeah. Tap your neighbor and say, you need to grow into a status. Yeah. You can't inherit it. I was listening to somebody preaching, and the person uses analogy, which I found very peculiar. He said, you cannot just walk into a ring, boxing ring, and say that because Muhammad Ali is your father, is he also a world champion? And just start jogging, you know. You know, Ali is my father, so I am. You won't make it. You won't make it. You, if Ali is your father, Muhammad Ali is your father, it probably gives you the predisposition. I know his daughter was also a female boxer. I don't know how far she went. But I guess she was good to some level. She stopped. Yeah, she learned from it. So it gives you the predisposition to be great in that sense in a ring. But you cannot go on your father's, you know, what do you call it? Status and say, hey, because my father, it gives you the push and the go on. My father, my spiritual father, is a great person, and it gives me all the potential to become a great person, but I have to work at it. In fact, Bishop a lot of times lament at how his children, the pastors, especially those of us who are a little older, the older generation of pastors, we are not following him as we ought to. Because if we follow him as we ought to, we should be approaching some level of greatness as he is. You see? So you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling to make it. And that is what spiritual growth is about. Grow up. You understand? Grow up. Grow up. your stunted growth must stop. Do you know what stunted growth is? Yeah, it's a spiritual emergency. I'm a pediatrician, and if I'm in the office or the clinic and seeing patients, if I see a child that has stunted growth, it's a serious thing. You have to do a full investigation, including even sometimes working with a social, you know, social welfare, social whatever it is, to make sure that the child is not being molested at home, not being underfed, not being maltreated at home. Because a child must grow. Yeah, you must grow up. It's not a bad thing to say. You must grow up, and you must be worried that you are not growing up. You must be. Because on the other side, in the world, when a child is not growing up as we get concerned. Isn't it? In the same way, spiritually, you must be concerned if you are not growing up. So, in the spiritual world, we recognize all levels, similar levels as in the physical. Isn't it? Now, in the physical, you can clearly recognize a baby stage. Isn't it? And you can also recognize a childhood stage. Then you can also recognize an adult stage. In the same way, spiritually, you recognize also a baby stage. Baby Christians. And you can also recognize Christians who are children. And you can also recognize Christians who are adults, matured Christians. Amen. Now, it does not just come just like that. It comes, and that's the whole point of what we're doing. It comes through the secret. As you spend time with God in your quiet time, daily interaction with the Word of God. Daily interaction with the Word of God. Not once a week, not once a month, not once a fortnight, not once every other day, but every day you must have some form of interaction with the Word. You and God. Come on. I say you and God. Say you and God. Lift up your right hand and say me and God. And say just the two of us. Yes. Just the two of us. That is the secret. That is the secret. I said that is the secret. So who is a baby Christian? Now, a baby Christian is easy to define. A baby Christian is a Christian who was just born. Isn't it? Who is a baby? A baby is a human being that was just born. Our dear sister Esther has had a baby. Yes. So that's a newborn baby. It's a baby. You see? And babies are allowed to do certain things. For one, babies are allowed to put on diapers. Isn't it? Babies are allowed to put on diapers. Babies are allowed to cry. Babies are allowed to be irritable. Babies are allowed to be cranky. Babies are allowed not to exhibit so much self-control. Yeah. A baby, excuse me for my language, a baby can poop in church, a baby can pee in church, a baby can make noise whilst a pastor is preaching. Very little self-control. You see, but you are not allowed. And we need to grow up. Are you understanding? We need to grow up. Now, what will make you grow up is the Word. Through the secret. As you interact with God through His Word, and as you talk to Him, what happens is that you grow. You will grow and you will move away from the baby state. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. Common verse we all know. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter
chapter 2 and verse 2.
It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, isn't it? That ye may grow thereby. So for a baby, the word, the same word, is milk, isn't it? It is milk, and it has the ability to make the baby grow. Amen. So if you are a Christian and you have been a baby for years, and again, I don't have to define who a baby is. Any Christian who is without self-control. Yeah. I mean, you can pull down your zip and sleep anywhere. You're a baby Christian. What a shock. Don't be surprised at what I'm saying. But it's a problem. It's a problem. You cannot control yourself in any way. You need to grow up. And I'm trying to help you. We say it's the year of greatness. It is the year of greatness. It is your year of greatness. But for you to be great, you need to grow up. And those things need to go away. You need to grow up and let those things disappear. And how does he say? Desire the sincere milk. Desire the sincere milk. Maybe you should start by praying, God, give me a desire. Because babies with anorexia, you know what anorexia is? They don't want to eat. It's also a problem. Because you need that nutrition to help you to grow. Are you listening to me? So as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Wow. Amen.
Babies are also very ignorant.
Very, very ignorant. I mean, there are good things about babies that you should not lose. You see. But we're looking at the bad things or things that should drop as we grow. Ignorant. So ignorant. Everything they put in their mouth. It's ignorance. I mean, when you step out and you meet a prophet, so-called prophet, say, oh, give me $100. Okay, well, I'll give you a word. Then you take the, okay, what is the Lord saying? You're always looking, what's the Lord saying? What's the Lord saying? Instead of you reading your Bible, what's the Lord saying? I want you to know that, you know, that your auntie, the one with the gray hair, she's been trying to kill you for the past 3 years. And suddenly, you see, these things, they sound like jokes. But I've seen it many times. Seen it many times, even in family. Somebody hears something about something. Is it not amazing that your mother who gave birth to you, who fed you when you were helpless, she didn't kill you all these years when she used to sleep with you? I mean, she could have laid on you or something. Isn't it? She could have put cyanide in your food. But she didn't. So how come all those years she didn't kill you, but now suddenly she wants to kill you? Yes. Ignorant. Because you don't have any word in you. Everything goes. Anything that is said to you, okay. Are you don't like the message? Whether you like it or not, I'm preaching. I've gone past days that I come to preach what you like. Yeah, even if it's only one person, I'll preach the same thing. Yeah.
You need to grow up. Stop being an ignorant baby. An ignorant baby who put everything goes.
Yeah. I don't know whether you've watched some of these documentaries about birds, you know.
Birds.
Yeah. When they are in their nest, okay, and they hear mommy or daddy come by, they say, "Oh, the baby bird." Yeah. They don't have even eyes to even open. They don't even open their eyes. Then she just poke. Mommy will just poke the worms in. Yeah. That's how babies are.
Everything.
And people are just poking. Take it one. Take it two. Take it three. Take it four.
Sometimes you should even be aware of even where you go. I don't just
read books and read. There is nothing. Let me tell you this. There is nothing that I follow today that I've not seen a clear relationship between my father, the bishop, and that thing. I don't read anybody else's books. I don't listen to anybody. I don't do anything other than what I've seen him associate with.
Some of you are not even careful who even lays hands on you.
Yeah. Oh, this is a prophetic meeting. Then lay hands on me.
I see three people in the crowd. Four of them have an issue in Africa.
I mean, four of you have an issue in Africa. If I say I have a word now, four people have an issue in Africa. 20 people will stand up right now.
Is it not true?
One day I was listening to Kenneth Hagin, and I think, if I'm correct, I may be wrong, but I think it was even a convention he had many years ago before he died here in Philadelphia, Kenneth Hagin. And he said that at a meeting, a lady came to her holding a box of tissue like that. All right? And this lady was just foaming in the mouth. Foaming. Yeah. She had to go around with this. See, back in the day, he's a prophet. So as soon as he saw the lady, he said, "Lady, I know exactly what is wrong with you." And he told her, what was the problem? She went for a prayer meeting somewhere. Yeah. And this so-called prophet was doing deliverance. And Kenneth Hagin told her clearly how that spirit was put on her. He said, "I'm going to pray for you and it's going to go away. On one condition, that you promise me that you will never go for any of such meetings again." And that was it. That was it.
Some of you even accuse Lighthouse pastors like we don't have power. You don't know. You don't know the anointing that we operate in.
Yeah. Because we stand here and we teach you. We rather teaching you and helping you and showing you. You want us to rather every day, "Hey, take it two, take it three, take it four, take it five, take it six, take it seven."
What will make a tangible great impact in your life is this, the word.
And let me tell you, when the word is being taught, okay, it's one of the greatest signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Because when the Spirit of truth is come, he will teach. He will teach. It's a hallmark and a characteristic of the real presence of God.
If you are sensitive, you can feel the Holy Spirit here. Yeah, that's what will change you.
And I'm talking to you about growing up. Stop being a baby. Stop being a baby. Come out of ignorance. Grow up. Move out of ignorance. Stop being an ignoramus.
I'm not insulting you. I'm teaching you.
Stop being such an ignorant person and grow up.
And there's so much material to grow up. Yeah. You know, my lady pastor works with the administration of the church. She does a lot of web things for them, you know. And I learn a lot from her passively. She doesn't know. You see, on her laptop, a lot of times she opens up, because she's always working on one or two projects from Bishop's website. And she had this page opened. And it had to do with books and audio tapes, audio messages, catalog. I mean, there is hardly any topic in the church that, or in the ministry, that you cannot find a message that Bishop has been. Look at the books. I mean, if you took these books and you started reading them, oh, your life would, your marriage would change, your schooling would change, everything about you will change. And it will impart grace into your life. Yeah. And give you wisdom. And move you towards becoming a partaker of the divine nature. And move you from ignorance. At least it's better to be a child than a baby. And the best is to be a matured Christian. Yeah. So come next week. I'll teach you a little bit about child. The childhood stage. All right. And again, it's a secret. That constant interaction with the Word of God through a daily quiet time that will move you from being a child, from being a baby to a child. And the same Word will move you from a child to an adult as you constantly feed with it. Amen. Wow. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Let's bow down our heads in prayer as we end. This morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to say, Pastor, pray for me, pray with me, I want to give my life to Christ. You are here. You're not sure where you would go if you were to die today. I want to help you to be sure. If you are here like that, just lift up your hand and I will pray for you, with you. Anybody like that here? Or number two, you are here and you feel that you are so far from God. You are not where you used to be. Your walk with God is cold. Your walk with God is not the way it ought to be. Change it today. Give the Lord opportunity to change it. Get fired up by rededicating your life to Jesus. Anybody like that here, just raise up your hand and I'll pray. Please don't look around, bow down your head, and I'll pray with you. Anybody here like that? You want to say, Pastor, pray with me, pray for me. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. Anybody here like that? Just raise up your hand. I'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise. I give you glory. Father, we are grateful to you for this morning. Thank you for your word. We ask that you help us. Help us. Help us to grow up. Help us to seek spiritual maturity. Let spiritual maturity be something that we desire. Put your hand on your heart right now. I pray in Jesus' name that every heart that is represented in this room that had no plant of spiritual growth, change it today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let it be changed today. Let it be changed today. Let it be changed today in Jesus' name. Let, oh God, the desire to grow through a daily quiet time, through this secret, through that we may even become great and walk in our destiny of greatness. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and we give you glory. And all the saints shall say, amen. All right. Now let's take our offering.